This recording covers paragraphs 28 to 33 of the 39 paragraphs of Household. Household, paragraph 28, from Miscellaneous Writings, chapter 5, Letters to Students. Science is absolute and best understood through the study of my works and the daily Christian demonstration thereof. It is their materiality that clogs the progress of students, and this kind goeth not forth but by prayer and fasting. It is materialism through which the animal magnetizer preys, and in turn becomes a prey. Spirituality is the basis of all true thought and volition. Assembling themselves together and listening to each other amicably or contentiously is no aid to students in acquiring solid Christian science. Experience, and above all obedience, are the aids and tests of growth and understanding in this direction. The quote, "This kind goeth not forth but by prayer and fasting," Noah Webster in the 1828 states that fasting means, or a fast means, firm in adherence, close, strong, immovable, fixed, tight. And an example is to make fast the door, take fast hold, pressed, press close, fixed. This looks like it is extremely valuable in translating what is said here in this paragraph. And this quote about "this kind goeth not forth but by prayer and fasting" is from the Bible. In the Bible, prayer and fasting is referred to in 5 instances: Psalms, Daniel, Matthew, Mark, and 1 Corinthians. And Mary Baker Eddy repeats that phrase in 4 instances: one in Miscellaneous, which is the one I just quoted, and 3 of them in Miscellany. Various religions consider fasting going without food, but that's not the real spiritual meaning, obviously, as the very definition of the word fast is explained by Noah Webster. So when it is used with prayer, it appears that if one accepts the definition of John Morgan on prayer, meaning the chapter of prayer from Science and Health, which is intended to mean getting closer to God, yielding to a higher power, in other words, putting self aside, giving up on a material solution or material efforts toward a solution. And if you couple that with the idea of the couple of words from the definition from Noah Webster, which is to be firm, immovable, fix, be set. In other words, be set, be convinced, and be firm in the pursuit of spirit. Uplifting oneself out of a limited sense of materiality and looking for a more spiritual life, which of course brings all solutions to whatever difficulty seems to be presenting itself. Another important item recognized is Mary Baker Eddy states that experience and above all obedience are the aids and tests of growth and understanding in this direction. Now, she talked about obedience in referring to when she would give instructions to someone. And obedience was obedience only if they recognize the value of what they were to be obedient about and would give up any self-sense of ego or sense of material life and intelligence in matter and willingly obey it, recognizing that that was spiritual progress for them. that they would advance spiritually if they would obey the instruction that Mary Baker Eddy had given them. And when Mary Baker Eddy did not think that they were doing it in that respect, then she would say, never mind, forget about it. Because she would know that it wasn't really obedience and that the student wasn't ready for her instruction. Mary Baker Eddy gave a fan to Bliss Knapp when he was with his father, who was visiting Mary Baker Eddy to talk about CS, or administration of the church, or whatever it was. And if Bliss would have merely used it as a tool for cooling himself, because it was apparently a warm day, then that would be an example of not being obedience, because obedience was really determining what was the symbolism of the fan. And as Bliss later explained, it was to separate matter from spirit. In other words, to realize that we need to filter everything that comes into the atmosphere of thought and do the either let them grow side by side until it is time to do the separation, as in a harvest, separating the chaff from the wheat, or to make the separation instantly, depending on the situation. Separating the chaff from the wheat when they're growing together destroys the wheat. That's why you need to wait till the harvest, when the wheat is mature and it can be gathered up. There is a principle involved in every activity. One needs to know what the principle is if he's going to be involved in that activity. To be obedient, one needs to understand the value of the situation, the value of the factors involved. And if one does not, then blind obedience does not get one anywhere on a permanent basis. And in fact, it is very dangerous for one to do anything blindly. And I don't mean blind from a material standpoint, but blind from a spiritual standpoint. In fact, being intelligent and wise and knowing from a spiritual standpoint removes the blinders to see the nothingness of the material sense of life, truth, and intelligence in matter. To see the nothingness of matter. See the nothingness of anything that is unlike God. Seeing that there is no power except, as Mary Baker Eddy states, the good we do and embody, or the good we see that is benefiting others, the good that we learn about what God is, that God is good. And good in that respect, about God being good, is not a shallow comment about God, but good meaning the ultimate good, the ultimate pureness, the ultimate perfection. And this leads us to the next paragraph, number 30, which is the poem, Christ My Refuge. And this is also stated in miscellaneous writings. My prayer, some daily good to do, to thine for thee, an offering pure of love, whereto God leadeth me. And the word thine and thee is capitalized. And this leads right into the next paragraph, 31, which is discipline, guidance of members. So this is a beautiful follow-up on her prior statements about obedience. It shall be the duty of every member of this church to pray each day, Thy kingdom come. Let the reign of divine truth, life, and love be established in me, and rule out of me all sin. And may thy word enrich the affections of all mankind and govern them. And the next one under discipline is paragraph 32 of the 39 in household. A rule for motives and acts. Neither animosity nor mere personal attachment should impel the motives or acts of the members of the Mother Church. In science, divine love alone governs man, and a Christian scientist reflects the sweet amenities of love in rebuking sin, in true brotherliness, charitableness, and forgiveness. The members of this church should daily watch and pray to be delivered from all evil, from prophesying, judging, condemning, counseling, influencing, or being influenced erroneously. Well, another very enlightening thing here is she talks about the members of the Mother Church. In the glossary, she defines church. Church. The structure of truth and love, whatever rests upon and proceeds from divine principle. The church is that institution which affords proof of its utility and is found elevating the race, rousing the dormant understanding from material beliefs to the apprehension of spiritual ideas and the demonstration of divine science, thereby casting out devils or error and healing the sick. It's easy to see that that is not what the common belief is about the purpose of church, or even what a church consists of. It has nothing to do with a physical structure, as is obvious from this definition, and it has nothing to do with a bureaucracy that is for the purpose of controlling or organizing people, for the purpose of having them follow a particular doctrine or a particular set of rules. And when Mary Baker Eddy established the manual, she said she did not want to do it because she was hoping it would never be needed, but that she could see that it was needed. And that was because people were so far off the track in what they were doing with the Christian Science Church that she realized that there needed to be a book that outlined the proper conduct for a Christian Scientist in relation to a church. And in fact, it says manual of the Mother Church. It is not the manual of branch churches. And of course, the provisions in the manual very specifically require her personal signature on many activities. There was no successor that had the authority to sign on behalf of her. Therefore, the activity was to cease or not even begin if it was a new activity, and cease if it was a continuing activity, such as the appointment of teachers or the approval of entrance into classes to prepare students to be a teacher or assignment to the board of lectureship. All of these things needed her signature. And if she didn't sign, they are totally unauthorized activities. Not in accordance, but in violation of the manual. Also, all of the things that are outlined in the deeds of trust, if they are not followed, then they are in violation of the manual. Paragraph 31, if it wasn't already covered, is as follows. Daily prayer. It shall be the duty of every member of this church to pray each day, Thy kingdom come. Let the reign of divine truth, life, and love be established in me, and rule out of me all sin. And may thy word enrich the affections of all mankind and govern them. So Mary Baker Eddy is clearly stating that not only do we pray for ourselves, but for everyone, and that we need to let the reign of divine truth, life, and love be established in me. Let it. We have to recognize it, accept it, live it, demonstrate it, and be it. And I'll repeat number 32 from the manual, A Rule for Motives and Acts. Neither animosity nor mere personal attachment should impel the motives or acts of the members of the Mother Church. In science, divine love alone governs man, and a Christian scientist reflects the sweet amenities of love in rebuking sin, in true brotherliness, charitableness, and forgiveness. The members of this church should daily watch and pray to be delivered from all evil, from prophesying, judging, condemning, counseling, influencing, or being influenced erroneously. With that paragraph, she starts with the atmosphere that is required. Neither animosity nor mere personal attachment. Christian Scientist reflects the sweet amenities of love, and that includes rebuking sin in true brotherliness, charitableness, and forgiveness. So this is the discipline she's talking about with love. She said she makes strong demands on love. So love is not being a wishy-washy, letting everybody do whatever they want, thinking in terms of a parent and a child. It's not our responsibility what other adults do, but I believe this could be symbolized by a parent and a child. Rebuking sin, and of course within ourselves. And then with others, it's having true brotherliness, charitableness, and forgiveness. And we must watch and pray daily to be delivered from all evil, from prophesying, judging, condemning, counseling, influencing, or being influenced erroneously. The next one is paragraph 33 of the 39 paragraphs of Household. Alertness to duty. It shall be the duty of every member of this church to defend himself daily against aggressive mental suggestion, and not be made to forget, nor to neglect, his duty to God, to his leader, and to mankind. By his works he shall be judged and justified or condemned. Mary Baker Eddy refers elsewhere to the results of our work. In other words, that is the measurement of whether we have been doing correctly or not. She talks about there being an uplift of mankind from prayer, and that includes healing the sick and the sinful, and raising the dead. She says signs will follow, and those are the signs that she refers to. So that's by his works he shall be judged and justified or condemned. So we must strive for exactly what Mary Baker Eddy and Jesus did. This is the end of the manual references, and this will be the end of this particular segment of the recording. So we're ending with paragraph 33. So this recording covered from number 28 to 33 of the 39 paragraphs of Household.